right, by the seat of her pants, our speaker came tonight. I'd like to introduce our lovely Lindy. She is always got something interesting to say. There's always something about, you know, cowboys or country songs or Wikipedia or something. So you guys are always in for a treat. So let's give a big warm welcome for our Lindy.
Seat of my pants indeed. But I did have dinner at the Quaver Bar.
Oh, no wonder.
Lori. How many of you have already broken your New Year's resolutions? How many of you made a New Year's resolution?
I don't.
Okay. Well, you know what they say, New Year's resolutions go in one year and out the other. How many of you have seen the AT&T commercial with the man and the children? And the kid says, I want a New Year's so you can, you need a faster, bigger, better, whatever, so that you can have a New Year's revolution. And the guy doesn't look at him quite as weird as it is to have a robot that turns in, or a dinosaur that turns into a robot that smashes the water ninjas. But he says, what are you revolting against? And the kid says, I just want to eat more jelly beans this year. And the man says, I guess you're not really revolting, you're just wanting to do more of what's bad for you, which could be a rebellion in and of itself. But those ads are really insightful in the way children think and the way adults respond to them. But I'm here to talk about New Year's resolutions tangentially. My New Year's resolution is to be more optimistic by keeping my cup half-half with either rum, vodka, or whiskey. New Year's Eve is the only acceptable time to wear body glitter. It says right here. So if you've been wearing body glitter other than New Year's Eve, shame, shame.
Oh, wow.
Without being mistaken for a stripper, it says here. So. One gentleman says his New Year's resolution is 1080p. 1080p is the screen resolution of a television set. Gee. Yeah. My New Year's resolution is to stop hanging out with people who ask me about my New Year's resolutions. I have only one resolution, to rediscover the difference between wants and needs. May I have all I need and want all I have. That's kind of backwards. May I have all I want and not need any of it. That would be my New Year's resolution. People treat New Year's like some sort of life-changing event. But if your life sucked last year, it'll probably suck this year. Probably shouldn't say that, but it's not Sunday, so. I want to get so drunk that if vampires bit my neck, they'd get a Bloody Mary. May all your troubles last as long as your New Year's resolutions. And so forth and so on. But you know, there are some New Year's resolutions you have no chance of keeping. When I hear a funny plea, skip. I resolve to work with neglected children. Probably never keep that one. My own. Lose 20 pounds by going to the gym. Some people will do it. I'm not some people. I will stop asking, so what's your URL as a pickup line? I will spend less than 5 hours a day on the internet. I will read the manual just as soon as I can find it. I will spend less than $1,000 at Starbucks this year. I will figure out how to use punctuation so that these jokes don't all run together. But I blame it on the developer who put this stuff on the internet, because on the internet it's actually spaced correctly. It's only when you print it that it goes south on you. Lose weight by inventing an anti-gravity machine. Stop repeating myself again. I will stop tagging pictures of myself in pictures even when there's not... God, this writing is terrible. I want to gain weight, put on at least 30 pounds. Yeah, right. Okay. So there you have the humor of New Year's resolutions that we say we want to keep and that we will never keep. And the right answer is what most of you have done, and that is not to make New Year's resolutions. But the kid in the AT&T ad says, I want to keep my New Year's revolution. And then the question becomes, well, this is a spiritual forum, and where does revolution fall in the Bible? And I figured it out. It falls somewhere between resolution and revelation. You had to be there. But in matter of fact, there's only one reference to revolution in the Bible. Because as Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. So they're not going to revolt against a government that is God. But there are several instances of the word rebellion. Paul was pretty much of a rebel after he was enlightened. And the devil doesn't like people turning to Christ, so he can revolt against that. And there's an example in Kings and Acts that's the preaching of the gospel. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the other rulers of the city, saying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. So in the Bible somewhere there's people that have turned the world upside down, which you could construe as revolt. New Year's resolutions have been around for a long time. They originated in religious doctrine. Babylonia. The ancient Babylonians made promises to their gods at the start of the year, and they would return borrowed objects and pay their debts. That's not going to fly in 21st century U.S. None of those. Not returning borrowed objects or paying debts or promising to be good. None of those work. Typical examples include donate to the poor more often, become more assertive, become more environmentally responsible, become more physically fit, eat more healthily, lose weight, get a PhD, improve the world, end world hunger, take a trip, and so forth and so forth. But the question isn't, why do we make them and what are they? The question is, what are we not looking at by making meaningless New Year's resolutions? Because some of them are really regrettable when we don't do them. For example, and this is the crux of my talk, what New Year's resolutions, or not New Year's resolutions, what doing or not doing are you going to regret when you get to be my age? Number one, there's a list of 37 things you will regret when you are old, but I'm not old yet, so I'm relating to my age. Not traveling when you had the chance. How many of you have traveled all you wanted to? Gosh, I don't see any hands. Calco wants to dance. I haven't traveled as much as I want to. But then I wouldn't have raised my hand either, would I? It becomes infinitely harder to travel the older you get. And my story is that in 2006, no, in 2007, I guess. No, in 2006. In 2006, I said to my friends, I'm going to go to the Iditarod in 2008. I had it in my mind that I wanted to be an Iditarider, which means you pay money, you sit on the sled for the first 11 miles of an 1,100-mile race. And it's a fundraiser for the mushers. And it's really quite an adventure. And I'd wanted it for 15 years or so, since Susan Butcher won for Iditarods in the 80s. And my friends said to me, knowing that I had been diagnosed with Parkinson's and depression and diabetes and, you know, normal craziness, they said, Lindy, why don't you go in 2007 instead of 2008? What's preventing you from making that trip next year? And I thought about it, and the answer was, you know, nothing. Nothing was preventing me from going next year. It was just that I thought I had to plan. And my plan was buy a first-class airplane ticket to Anchorage, round trip, darn it. Join the Iditarider auction online, buy a musher, fly to Anchorage, spend a week, and come home. And do everything Iditarod-related that I could do in that week. And the reason for the first-class airplane ticket was because I was buying it in October, and the flight wasn't until March. And I figured I could pay for it in 6 months. So by the time I used that ticket, it was fully paid for. I had allotted $2,000 for the auction to buy my musher, because that was the average, general average of the previous years. For $7,500, you could buy the musher of your choice, regardless of who was bidding on him or her. That's for the famous people, the rock stars. I wasn't looking for a rock star. I was looking for somebody affordable. But I chose my musher to put my money on based on his picture in the program. He looked like a genuinely nice man. And it turns out he was. I discussed the bidding with a friend of mine at work, and he said, here's when you should do it, and here's what you should bid. And we were on the same page. The Iditarod or mushroom auction is slightly different than your regular eBay auction. The Iditarod auction has set times for closing for any given musher, but if somebody bids in the last 3 minutes, then they extend it for 5 minutes. So it has to go unbid upon for 5 minutes before you actually win it. So last-minute bidders can get in and raise the price for the good of the Iditarod mushers. So I picked somebody that I didn't think was going to get a lot of action because he was a rookie. That means he'd never run the race before. Nobody knew who he was except for the mushers. And they weren't bidding, were they? And my mom died on a Monday, January the 15th, 2007. And the auction closed on Friday, January the 19th, 2007. So I went to my hometown, put my mom's affairs to rest along with her committee. She had all of her nieces and daughters and nephews' wives were her committee. And we took all week to put things together, and the memorial was going to be on Saturday. So I took my laptop and went down to the Office Depot and hooked up to their network, Wi-Fi, and watched the bidding. Now, it closed in the order that the mushers were already bid upon. So the highest bid closed first, and the next highest bid closed second, and the next highest bid closed third, and so forth. Well, my bid was $1,400, and it was like the fifth highest bid that had been made in the previous time. Everybody waited till the last day. So he was going to be the fifth one to close. I was there 20 minutes. Nobody else bid on him. He was mine. Saved $700 in the process. That's how you measure if you're a woman, you know, how much you thought you'd have to spend versus how much you really had to spend and saved money. Listen up, men. That might be important to you someday. And it was a fabulous experience, the whole trip. You can listen to it on the internet if you want to on milliescorner.com, my relating the story of my Iditarod adventure. But the point being, I traveled when I had the chance, and it worked out beautifully. And if you wait until you get old, then you have to pay for the other person to go along and take care of you. Now, I'm having a good time doing that with my nieces and my family. I've taken my sister on a cruise. I took my niece on a cruise. I took my best friend on a cruise. I went with the church on a cruise, so I guess I could say I took Millie. I didn't pay for her, but we were on the same cruise. And I have more nieces, unfortunately, for my wallet. But that's neither here nor there. Okay, so travel when you get the chance. If you have any interest and desire to travel, make it happen. Don't wait till next year. Number two, not learning another language. I bet you everybody in this room who doesn't speak Spanish wishes that they did. We live in a multicultural environment, 10 miles from the Mexican border, where I understand they're going to tax non-resident citizens of Mexico. My Mexican friend was complaining at dinner tonight. They want to tax me. He says he's going to give up his Mexican citizenship because they're going to tax him for nothing. He doesn't go to Mexico. He has family down there, but he's a dual citizenship, and they want to tax everybody who has a passport, I guess. But I'm not big in Mexican politics, so I won't argue the case one way or the other. But how many of us took languages in high school and got to be pretty proficient in Spanish or French or German or whatever it was we took? Chinese, Russian, Farsi. How many of us remembered any of it after we graduated from high school? Yeah. I can say Wo ist der Damentoilette in German and Donde está el baño, which is the same thing in Spanish. And Una más cerveza, por favor. These are the important things to know in any language, but it's very difficult to communicate about more than just the evening with that. I don't remember anything from French, except I did say quelconance already once tonight, so I make myself a liar. Don't regret not having done something. If you want to have regrets, regrets things that you actually did. Because if you regret something that you didn't do, then shame on you for not doing it. Number three, I'm not going to do all 37, by the way. Even I have limits. Staying in a bad relationship. You don't have to raise your hand, but I'm sure there are several of us in this room who have stayed in bad relationships, knowing full well that they were going nowhere and providing no glimmer of happiness. You never get out without wishing you'd gotten out sooner. That's how I feel about my job. I retired, and I'm so grateful the fellow I had dinner with tonight is rolling off of the company's project after 10 years. He and I worked side by side for 10 years. And he says he can't get out fast enough because the company has changed since all of us were there working on this project. Now it's gone to the dogs. Number four, not using sunscreen. I guess you could probably put not flossing in there too, huh? You can avoid lots of skin issues, wrinkles, moles, skin cancer, if you use sunscreen religiously. Number five, missing the chance to see your favorite musicians. Oh, I'll catch the next time Nirvana comes to town. Well, in the last 3 years, I've been to approximately 15 different concerts of my favorite musical acts. I bought the country mega ticket at Cricket Amphitheater when it was still Cricket. The country mega ticket, it was six concerts in the first 10 rows of all six of them. And free drinks before, up to the headliner beginning, and hors d'oeuvres, and preferred parking. And the only reason I haven't done it since then is because I don't have any more acts I haven't seen. And besides, I retired, so I'm on a fixed income now. I saw Fleetwood Mac at the Hollywood Bowl just this last May. I saw Sugarland at the Greek Theater. I saw Tim McGraw. Little Big Town. Rascal Flatts. Carrie Underwood twice. Don't miss out on something that you want to do, something that fulfills your desires and your needs and your wants, something that opens your heart. Great musical concerts can open your heart because they are that much fun and that special, made even more special, quite frankly, by the additional price of the ticket to get in the first 10 rows. But you can still have fun in the back, especially at a place like Sleep Train Amphitheater, formerly Cricket, where there's grass in the back and you can get crazy. I don't need to get crazy, huh? Number 6, being scared to do things. Somebody, and I can't remember who it was. I knew when I typed it, when I printed it out, I knew who it was, but I can't remember now. Posted on the internet a beautiful saying with an even more beautiful picture. Everything you want is the other side of fear. If you let fear decide your actions in life, you're going to miss out on a lot of stuff that you want to experience. But how many of us say, oh, well, take last weekend as an example. I had a ticket to go to Frisco, Texas, which is a suburb of Dallas, for a football game. The North Dakota State University Bison were playing the Towson University Tigers in what was the championship of the FBS, not FBS, FCS, the football championship series, where the North Dakota State University Bison were going for a third title in a row, a three-peat. We had tickets, we had hotel reserved, we had air tickets, and I got sick. Now, my friend said, okay, I'll cancel my ticket and we'll get our money back, and because we both bought the insurance. And I'm thinking to myself, if it were the other way around, I'd freaking go.
By myself,
yeah. And I'm not even from North Dakota, you know. I know two people in the crowd. 20,000 people from Fargo traveled 1,100 miles south to Frisco, Texas, to watch a game and to drink the town dry for the third year in a row. So don't be afraid, because when you look back, you'll say, why did I let myself be afraid? When you look back, you'll say, I really wanted to do that and I missed it because I was afraid. What was I afraid of? Think about that outside of this talk. What am I afraid of? I don't even want to read this one. Failing to make physical fitness a priority. Oh, darn, do I regret that one? Yeah, I do. And last spring I had an opportunity to make physical fitness a priority for a few months, and it really changed my life. So now I have to get back on board, jump back on that horse and ride it. If I can get a knee replaced in the near future, I'll be doing that very thing. Too many of us spend our lives on the couch, which shortens our lives, actually. And when you're 40, 50, 60, my age, you dream about what you can do because you can't do it any longer unless you've made physical fitness a priority. Just getting around on the cruise ship. You know how long a cruise ship is? Mm-hmm. It's 300 yards from the front of the ship, the theater, to the aft of the ship, the dining room. If you want to go to the dining room and the theater in the same night, you have to go 300 yards twice. Because hypothetically, your stateroom is midships. You have to walk 1,500 yards to get there and 1,500 yards back to your cabin. And then the same 1,500 round trip to the other end. I was as fit after a cruise as I've ever been in my life. And that's even with all the eating. So make physical fitness a priority and don't regret not doing it. Now, I have a history of quoting Wikipedia and country songs and whatnot. And I quoted Wikipedia, I just didn't credit them, where they talked about the origins of New Year's resolutions. I didn't quote them very widely. And I don't have a country song, but I have the perfect musical example to support my talk. And it's Frank Sinatra. Regrets? I've had a few. But then again, too few to mention. It's from My Way, if you don't recognize this source. I've had a few regrets. I live my life in such a way as to not have very many, though. I go to Alabama and Alaska. I'm taking the states alphabetically, and I've not gotten beyond Alabama and Alaska. You think that's funny. I'm actually serious. I've been to Alaska 7 times in the last 10 years. 4 cruises. 2 of them on the same ship. So, what have we learned from this little oratorical dialogue? More monologue than dialogue, I guess. Well, we've learned that there are 37 possible regrets that you'll have when you're old. And the one that I think is the most important regret is not to miss yourself, not to miss your own magnificence. Because when you get to the end, if you look in the mirror and say, gosh, I didn't know how beautiful I was when I was 40, 50, 60, 20, 15, 10. I missed my own magnificence because I was afraid or stupid, naive, uninformed, poorly coached. But people love us and they can point out our magnificence to us. Because, and this is a quote from Alan Cohen that Dennis put on the internet, those who love you are not fooled by mistakes you have made or dark images you hold about yourself. They remember your beauty when you feel ugly, your wholeness when you are broken, your innocence when you feel guilty, and your purpose when you are confused. Those who love you are not fooled by mistakes you have made or dark images you hold about yourself. So, another possible regret, you don't listen to your friends. Well, you should, because your friends see you more clearly than you see yourself. Our friends who love us see the glory and magnificence in each of us, and they're more than willing to help us out in seeing it ourselves. That's what friends are for. So have your own New Year's revolution. Revolt against the typical, want to lose 10 pounds, want to work out more, want to feed the homeless more. And choose to live life to the fullest. Because when you do that, you won't have anything left to regret. Thank you for giving me this time. No, I just have too many notes. Okay. Printed at 7:15.
Tonight?
Yes.
We'll see different pants.
Thank you, Lindy. That was really great. Seems to be the word that I keep hearing over and over, magnificence. Mm-hmm. I keep seeing that word and hearing that word. I don't know if anyone else is doing that, but